everybody, and welcome to Take a Knee. Well, we've taken a big break here, and I promised you that in this coming year, in 2024, that we were going to be doing some creative things. So I'm really excited about that. I've got some interviews lined up and folks that we're going to be talking to, and we're going to kind of jump off of some of these conversations and get into some things that I think will really interest you. So more on that to come. But today I've got a special guest, and I'll announce who that is here in just a moment. But I wanted to begin by reading a poem that I found called Desiderata. I think that's how you pronounce it, Desiderata. Of course, some of you may recognize that. I didn't. But as I did a little background on the poem, it was written by a man named Max Ehrman in 1921. There was a lot of confusion as to actually who wrote this, but his wife finally came forward and said, no, my husband wrote this. He's from Terre Haute, Indiana. And it became really popular in the 60s and early 70s. And they put this poem on posters. And as I said, I knew nothing about it until I read it recently. And I was like, yeah, this is really rich. It's deep. It's biblical. And so I wanted to start today and read this. And then we're going to stop and kind of camp on one set of lines in this, or a stanza, I guess they call it. And again, I'll share with you what we've got planned next. It goes like this. Go placidly amidst the noise and haste. And remember what peace there may be in silence. As far as possible, without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Speak your truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others, even the dull and the ignorant. They too have their story. Avoid loud and aggressive persons. They are vexatious to the spirit. If you compare yourself with others, you may become vain or bitter, for always there will be greater and lesser persons than yourself. Enjoy your achievements as well as your plans. Keep interested in your own career. However humble, it is a real possession in the changing fortunes of time. Exercise caution in your business affairs, for the world is full of trickery. But let this not blind you to what virtue there is. Many persons strive for high ideals, and everywhere life is full of heroism. Be yourself, especially do not feign affection. Neither be cynical about love, for in the face of all aridity and disenchantment, it is a perennial as the grass. Take kindly the counsel of the years, gracefully surrendering the things of youth. Nurture strength of spirit to shield you in sudden misfortune, but do not distress yourself with dark imaginings. Many fears are born of fatigue and loneliness. Well, this is fantastic, isn't it? I mean, there is like a sermon in every stanza. And again, you just see the biblical power. One that really jumped off for me is the last one that says, you know, take kindly the counsel of the years and gracefully surrendering the things of youth. And you live long enough, you do have to surrender that. But I want to introduce to you a very good friend and brother of mine in the faith, and also who serves here at Valley Community Church as our executive pastor. And I've wanted him to be able to share with us for a long time. So I've got him here today. And so, Bruce, say hello. Tell everybody that you're here.
Well, hey, thanks for having me, PD. It's fun to be on this side of it. You know, this is what I usually listen to when I'm doing my Friday yard work. I'm mowing the grass. I've got Take a Knee going. So to see it in person, it's interesting.
Be a part of it.
It's fun. Yeah.
Yeah, it is fun. And I'm glad you're going to be a part of this. And I hope we're going to be doing more of this on some of our video things that we want to do on some of the things that we believe. But one of the stanzas that jumped out for me as I was thinking about you and I talking today, and about especially of your life, because not everybody knows this. I mean, especially people that are starting to come to Valley for the first time, you know, they just see as Pastor Bruce. So they don't necessarily know your story. So this will be good. But I was thinking of this stanza right here. It says, enjoy your achievements as well as your plans. Keep interested in your own career, however humble. It is a real possession in the changing fortunes of time. I know you can identify with this.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you weren't always a pastor, were you, Bruce?
No.
Tell us a little bit about that.
You know, the idea of being a pastor, I don't want to say prophesied over me because the person that said it was certainly not a prophet, but was said at a young age, I think that boy will be a pastor one day. And it's one of those things I just kind of stored in my brain and heart, but I didn't necessarily build my life around it per se. I just began to live life and then I chose some paths that I wouldn't advise any child or teenager to choose, certainly not my children. And, you know, I chose a path that wasn't leading me to the church and certainly not to be a pastor. And so, you know, I began to just kind of move away from the idea of pastor. And some of that is just the lies of the enemy, right? Well, you've done things that, you know, there's no way you could be a pastor now.
So you kind of, you know? Did you feel like at that point that it was like I was disqualified?
A little bit, yeah,
You never really kind of even looked back at it.
Right, you know, I didn't have necessarily the spiritual words for it, right? I didn't know, 1 Timothy, Titus, any of that necessarily. Right. But there was certainly, you know, the guilt and shame that the enemy loves to keep you in when you've made some poor decisions, you know, and he certainly kept me in that for a very long time. Mm. And even as I began to walk with the Lord, it was never really a consideration, you know. So I go to college and do the normal college thing, and I'm meeting my, who is now my wife, and then joining the military. Wow. And while I was in training, we get married, and, you know, we do the army life for 5 years and have a little one and, you know, do a deployment, and everybody is a Christian when they're deployed.
When you joined the military, were you considering the potential of being a career, or you were just like, no, I'm going to do my...
You know, not at all. It's a kind of a funny story. It would be great if I could say, you know, I was inspired, I was super patriotic, and I am, that's not why I joined the military. Me and my wife now, we're going through a bit of a rough patch, and if I'm honest, I thought, well, if I tell her I'm going to join the Army, maybe she won't move back home. Mm. Well, she thought it was a great idea. And so now I'm like, now I got to join the Army, man.
You put your chips down.
Right. And she called my bluff.
Wow. I didn't even know that. Yeah. That's amazing.
Now, it's one of those things. Now I look back and go, well, there's sovereignty, because I learned so many things in the Army that I still use to this day, right? Like just how to be a man of mission and a person that understands orders and and understands rank and is okay being subjected to authority and things like that.
Did you enjoy your time in military?
I did. You know, there were certainly times I didn't, you know, poor leadership is what ruins the military for a lot of people.
And I've heard that.
You know, you have to take a step back sometimes and go, man, I'm flying in a Black Hawk right now. You know, there's not a lot of people that are going to do this. You know, I'm in a tank right now. You know, this is, and it's Tuesday. This is just what we're doing today. And, you know, just to travel the world and to meet so many people, and that has served me well in my really pre this and certainly in this, because I can identify with so many people now. From my background of just maybe not the best upbringing and just kind of some rocky stuff, and then just the nature of the military. It's just such a melting pot of humans in one area. And so joined the military, and we ended up having a little one. And it was our plan to stay in, actually. I tried to re-enlist while deployed to Iraq. Okay. And there's all kinds of benefits of doing that, right?
Yeah,
it's tax-free money.
That's right.
And so you can give them a list of demands almost, and they're going to meet those demands because
they want to keep you.
Right. Yeah, it's tough to get people to re-enlist, especially when you're, you know, there's two wars going on. When I joined, Afghanistan and Iraq were both heavy hitters at the time. And so I had my list. I want this duty station. I want to be guaranteed to stay. I want some stability. And I want X amount of bonus. And they were like, well, you're not within your window. You can't re-enlist yet. Okay. I was like, okay. And so went back that night and Skyped with Brittany. Some of the young people, Skype was pre-Zoom. That was that was the beginning stages of that stuff. And was like, you know, they just said no. And then that night, PD, we got rocketed all night long, man. Just bombarded all night. And I just remember telling Brittany the next day, I don't think this is the right decision. Like, if I stay in, I feel like I'm going to die. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to get out of this.
Do you feel like that God got involved in that at that point?
I think so. To kind of say, this isn't the plan I have for you.
Right.
And you're not connected with me enough to maybe hear my voice right now. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to tell you no, right?
Yep.
And so then we concocted our new plan, right? We were going to get out and we were going to move to Nashville, where my wife is from. And it just didn't work out. Like every plan we tried, it just failed. And so we reluctantly, if I'm honest, came back to my home, man.
Because this is where you're from.
Right. I'm from here. I was born and raised here. And and my wife, her father is born and raised in this community, but her mother's from Nashville. And she lived with her mom on and off and would consider her hometown to be Nashville, Tennessee.
Gotcha.
So we come back here and we start to do the church thing, and I go to school in town and I'm working on a degree, and then I spend a year working at the detention center. I worked there just long enough to know I did not want to do that forever. It just wasn't for me. And if anything, it was probably a little bit of that pastor popping out in me. It didn't really matter to me what they were accused of, right? I just saw situations and circumstances and the way people were treated, and it bothered me deeply. And so, I mean, I would come home some nights and just be overwhelmed with sadness. You know, I see a guy get pepper sprayed, and it's like, well, did he deserve it? Well, maybe. But I mean, that's a human being that's suffering and you know, I have a high amount of respect for the guys and, you know, women and men that do that. It's such a difficult job. And so I ended up working at getting a job at a kind of a tech company, a factory right outside of town called PCB Piezotronics. Started just entry level doing what was called conductive laser welding. Basically, we melted parts together using these really cool machines. It was pretty cool.
I bet it was.
You know, nothing like I'd ever did before.
It was pretty decent money.
Oh, it was terrible money.
Because you really did start at the bottom. Is that what you,
It was entry level. You know, I had no experience in manufacturing, really. I mean, a little bit before I joined the Army, you know, worked at a spot in town here, but for very little time. You know, by this time, I'd really matured in my walk with the Lord, right?
Yes.
I had an experience with God that changed the trajectory. We would call them Kairos moments if we were talking to somebody, right? And we were going to a little small church here in town, and we had started an outreach. And how it worked is we would do a drive, a coat drive or a toy drive or whatever. And then at the end of that month, we would serve in response to the drive. You know, so this particular month, it was Easter month, and we'd gotten funds and we'd bought Easter baskets for all the kids at the Boys and Girls Club in town. Brought them in, and they were doing their thing. We were giving them the true story of Easter and all this stuff. And man, I was standing at the back of this little worship center, very, very proud of me. You know what I mean? Just that pride, like, God, look what you did, Bruce. And I just felt the Lord speak as clearly to me then as maybe ever. Because at this time, I was a very, very good Sunday Christian, but my life Monday to Saturday hadn't really changed a whole lot. You know, when I came back, I found the same group of friends and just kind of fell back into those ways, you know, what was comfortable to me. And at the back of that little worship center, I felt God speak pretty clearly and say, you know, and anybody that knows me, what you see on a Sunday is what you see on a Tuesday. I am who I am, you know,
right.
And I'm at the back of this little church and I feel God just say, I haven't created you to be a fake person, either do this or get out of my way.
Ooh.
And I was like, "Ooh, wee, man, that felt serious." And so it was a kind of that moment. Me and Brittany talked that night. And it's like, you know, I think we should pursue God with our actual heart and really do this. And I don't think it was a salvation moment. I was a follower of Christ, but that was certainly a Kairos moment.
Yep. It was almost like, Bruce, if you think of it with the Kairos moment in mind, is that transition. It's almost like Moses getting close to the fire, you know, because once you got a little close to the fire, then God grabs you and says, okay,
right.
You know, I've called you. I've been trying to get you over here.
Yeah.
And now he's drawn you over to it. And now God is saying, hey, look, I got a mission for you.
Sure.
You know, take off your shoes, the whole thing. You know,
for sure.
Set my people free. Amazing.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
And so, yeah, the timeline gets a little fuzzy, but in that same general area, I'd started this new job and it was going well. And I just kind of had decided I'm going to do like the Bible says, I'm going to do everything as if unto the Lord. So if they want us to do 50 parts an hour, I'm going to do 55.
Nice.
They want us to work 10 hours, I'm going to offer to work 11 and not to be better than anybody. And that's oftentimes how it's misconstrued,
Sure.
But it's just like, no, I'm doing this for the Lord.
Yes.
And eventually somebody's going to have to ask me, okay, what's different about you? Well, it opens up two doors when you live your life that way, right?
That's exactly
right. One, it opens up the evangelistic door for people to ask those questions, but it also gets the attention of those that are above you to go, that dude, I don't know what's going on with him. I don't know why he's working so hard, but he is.
That's right. Because you know that's part of my story too.
Sure.
That I just shared that recently. And you're right. The people that are in charge, they don't always even really care where it's coming
from.
You know, they're just going, there's a person that's working their tail off and it's the excellence. It's the passion that will stand out. And it's a good message.
Because if you work as if to honor God, you're going to have a good attitude and you're going to have good output
at
the same time.
And that's good.
As an employer, what more could they ask for?
That's exactly right.
And so some doors began to open up and became a production manager when it was all said and done on first shift. And at the time, I was kind of overseeing two different departments and there was definitely a path I was on. There were some doors about to open up. Yep. During that time, I, you know, began to come here to Valley and began to say yes. I kind of made a, not a deal with God, but you know, felt God lead me to, you need to start saying yes when they ask you to serve and stuff. And one of those questions was, would you like to be an elder? Have you considered that? So talked to Brittany, prayed and fasted about it. And so at this time I was already set in as an elder and things are going great at work. Things are going great at home. And then I get a text from you. We're on our way back from Florida. Me and Brittany, my daughter does competitive cheerleading and she had, was competing in Florida. And so we're on our way back and get a text from you. It says, hey, you're going to be back in town tomorrow, right? I said, yeah, I'll be back tomorrow. Took a day off before I go back to work to just kind of get settled in. You're like, okay, cool. Would you mind coming to my office at like 1? And of course I text back, yeah, man, can't wait to see you, brother. And then I looked at Brittany, I was like, oh no, I don't know what I must've did something wrong. Like maybe like,
cause now I'm an elder. I'm
I must've said something like to somebody in traffic or something. And they're a member and now they've told on me what's going on.
Oh man.
And look, if you're listening to this, if a pastor asks to speak to you, it's usually not bad, right? If it is, we're probably not going to say, hey, can I talk to you tomorrow at 1?
Yeah, you know? Right? He's going to probably come to your doorstep and say,
right. And to that point, the next day you texted me about 10 and said, hey, are you free? Can you come in at 11 instead of 1? And I was like, yeah, sure, man. Can't wait to see you. And I was like, Brittany, he just wants to get it over with. You know what I mean? It's just bad.
This thing is not heading in the right.
And then kind of to that point, to the point of what you're saying about this poem, I had a plan.
Yeah.
And from a worldly standpoint, everything was going great. Mm. You know, for the city we live in and the area we live in, I was already financially doing great, doing good, man.
Because you had gone through several promotions.
Oh, yeah, several promotions,
And that's what I wanted to point out, too, Bruce, as far as this coma is concerned, because that's the thing I saw in you, is that once God got a hold of you, you're like, okay, I am now going to be kingdom in whatever God has put in front of me. So that's what you described. And it's kind of what, when people are listening to, I want them to catch that about your story, is that it was a process. But one of the biggest processes that I think of you when I see that is that you were just like, you didn't have pastor in mind at all.
No.
It was just like, I just am going to be the best salt and light that I can be.
Absolutely.
And then because of that, what does the scripture say? You're faithful in the small things. You know, God will give you more.
That's right.
And I mean, I can see that.
And what I did and what I learned and what I now teach people is, because people love to ask us, what is God's will for my life? I don't know. What I can tell you, though, is that you should be faithful to what he has in front of you right now.
That's exactly right.
And then he will give you the next step.
Yes.
In essence, not earned it, so to speak, but it's almost, you're showing yourself trustworthy for the next step.
That's exactly
Pastor
right.
Pastor never crossed my mind again, even as an elder. Even when you called me in and began to lay out what was going on. I remember you laid out the whole situation, and your solution to it was to bring in somebody to help you with this. And you said, well, what do you think? And I was like, yeah, you should figure that out, man. That's a problem. And you're like, well, wait a minute. No, don't. Will you do that? It had never crossed my mind, even in the conversation, that you were talking about me. And, you know, to encourage some people that are listening to this, and maybe they feel a calling, not even necessarily to pastoral work, but to something else, and you're in something, and some days you just go, is this all you've got for me, God? And there was days where I struggled with that. You have me here to make rich people richer. You know what I mean? And is this it, Lord? And I'll look, if that's it, then amen. I'll do it with everything I've got until my last breath, until you tell me to move. But I remember when you said, well, what about, no, I want it to be you. What do you think? I remember in that moment, God, he shows you the purpose of the past 10 years.
That's right.
That's why I kept you there. And that's why I needed you to take those baby steps and learn all that stuff from the moment you joined the military until right now. Now you get to take that and to step into your calling, so to speak. That thing that you held from when you were a kid and a little boy, now you're going to get to walk in it, and you're going to get to use all those things that you thought were pointless. I'm going to use it for my glory now. And you know, to encourage anybody listening to this, everything that God is bringing us to is for a reason and for his glory. And
that's
if we can just reorient ourselves to that, you know what I mean? It gives us purpose, you know?
That's why I wanted you to share that, Bruce, because I've seen it. You know, that's what I believe. And, you know, I talk about that all the time. You know, you live enough of your life, you see the accumulation of wisdom and experience that it all moves us forward, you know, to what God has for us. So not everybody's going to be called to be a pastor, going to be pulled out of a corporate world. I mean, I know that you were in a situation where you had two very, very good possibilities going on there. You could have continued to make the widgets and go up the ladder. And it, without a thought in my mind, I knew you were on a track to become very successful in that endeavor. But because God had planted that seed in your heart, you know, at such a child, it's like the moment that even got just watered, you know, boom. It's almost like a seed, because sometimes they talk about seeds can sit there for 50 years. You know, and then finally when water and moisture get to them in the right conditions, boom, they can just take right off. And
And again, like you said, not everybody's called to be a pastor, and that's good. We need mechanics and and factory workers and police officers and first responders to be salt and light too. You know, we need those just as badly as we need us.
Because
you know?
Really, I mean, we're all called to ministry, right?
That's right. Yeah.
And so you can still do that in your vocation. That's something that we preach here and we teach here, to say you can gain an incredible amount of satisfaction by coming here on a Sunday and serving and doing different things and yet going back. And that's not to say maybe stick in a short-term missionary trip from time to time instead of going on vacation. There are people who are listening to this, and I know that this is their story too. I think of one guy that I know is listening to this is Randy Fahrenholz. Randy is such a story on this too. But you know, he could have easily gone on to be a full-time worship leader, but you know, he stayed where he is down there in Fayetteville and continuing to do what he does, but yet he can so be fulfilled, you know, and continue to do what he's doing. So there is so many ways to to fulfill this. And so you're one of many examples. And so right now you're functioning as executive pastor here at Valley, and we got some exciting things happening here, and
we do.
It is an overwhelming thing, I know, from time to time, Bruce, but you're doing a fantastic job with
thank
that.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
So excited about the future. So anyway, thank you so much, Bruce, for taking the time and joining us on this.
Absolutely.
And, so everybody, thanks for joining us here today on Take a Knee. And again, we're going to be interviewing some other folks. I've got some really exciting ones ahead that I hope work out, and I'll get you up to speed on that very, very soon. In the meantime, let me take a moment. Pastor Bruce and I will pray for you as you're listening in. So, Lord, we do just pray, Lord, that you would help us to find joy, Lord, in the journey. Lord, to find joy in the journey. We don't know, Lord, what's ahead. There are times when we get inklings. Lord, I do believe that, Father, you do drop almost prophetic little nuggets, God, that help us along the way. And sometimes we have to die to a vision for it to be resurrected. Because sometimes, Lord, we just don't understand it. We're way ahead of your timing, whatever the case may be. So, Lord, I just pray for all who are listening, God, that you just give them peace. That, Lord, they would bloom where they're planted. That they would be faithful in the little things. Faithful where they are right now. You're the God of promotion. Lord, you're the God of advancement. Lord, you are the one who brings reward to those who are faithful in the little things. To not despise the day of small beginnings, because, Lord, when we're found faithful, you will certainly add more. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, folks. And again, thanks for joining us today. We'll see you soon.